interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National emergency.
Based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Hey, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Tonight we shall begin in Georgia, Grovetown, Georgia. That's where a woman had a very disturbing and weird experience at a Walmart. She claimed that she was walking through the Walmart there, and she was approached by a man claiming that he worked with the television show called America's Funniest Home Videos. He asked her if her toenails were painted. She said, yes. He asked her if he could, as part of a prank, kiss her foot. And he said that if she complied, that he would pay everything, pay for everything that she bought in the store that day. So, hey, seemed like a good deal to her, apparently. She pulls her foot out. The man kneels down and then begins passionately sucking on her big toe. She told him to stop. He would not. Finally, the woman began to scream. The man looked up, grinned, and said, "It tasted so good, though." And then he ran from the Walmart. There was no explanation for this event. Authorities are looking over video surveillance footage right now to see if they can find footage of this foot crime in Walmart. Ladies, word to the wise, don't pull your anythings out and let men suck on them in Walmart. Hey, thanks for joining us. What a weird show we have for you tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor, even Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. Now, I think this guy, I think they need to look into the Walmart security people. Maybe he's one of the Walmart security guys who actually has a videotape of this at his home right now.
Yes, and he is enjoying it immensely.
Over and over and over.
Yes, the infamous toe sucker of Walmart. And, you know, Georgia, that's not so far away, so... consider this a warning, Investigator Shelley Wright. Now, put yourself in this position, Shelley. You're a person who has been on television before, so you obviously have an interest in that. You enjoy the media. You've worked in the media in various capacities throughout the years. You're on this show every week.
A guy comes up to you and says, hey, I'm a big shot producer. Just want to kiss your foot. Would you react to that if he said, I'll cover the bill for the day?
Yeah, I don't think I'd believe it. I don't. I wouldn't do it.
The story doesn't even mention whether or not he had a camera or, you know, anything to indicate there was a production underway.
Right, right. You can just walk up to anybody, hey, you know, suck your toes.
Yeah.
I'll put you on TV. I'll make you a star.
I know for a fact that'll get you a long way. In fact, I have a little announcement about that tonight. Again, tonight, I swear, it's one of those nights when there's just not going to be enough time. We have had a tsunami of bizarre stories just pouring in from all over the world over the past week. And it's another indication of this quickening, things picking up pace. We're going to cover as much of that as we can. I also have an announcement coming up here. But in addition, as if all that weren't enough, all the craziness that you're going to be updated on, I have a guest lined up for the second hour of the show. And, you know, I am usually very particular, especially nowadays, about guests. I don't have them on that often, only when I think it's something that is really truly interesting to me and I think everybody else, instead of just some run-of-the-mill person who's plugging their latest book, because I get that kind of stuff all the time. I have a guy that I think it's okay to affectionately call a true mad scientist, after my own heart. He has done a lot of research with Nikola Tesla, one of my heroes. And Tesla, he was into every strange thing you can imagine. But apparently he was working on one project I'd never even heard of before, called Tesla's Wall of Light. This was an invisibility project. And, of course, Tesla has always been associated with invisibility because of, say, stories like the Philadelphia experiment and coils being used to make ships disappear and whatnot. Anyway, this scientist I'm going to interview, he claims that he has actually... becomes usual, speaking of strange, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You know, I just made the announcement there. The new program that you can see me on starting this fall is Paranormal Paparazzi on the Travel Channel. And yet, I made this announcement first on my Twitter feed and through Facebook. So hopefully, you know, you'll come and you'll sign up and follow all that kind of stuff. In fact, sometimes I put things on my Twitter account that are just, I don't know, random thoughts. And I tell you the latest thing that I put, just as an example. I found this video online that was recently put out by McDonald's. McDonald's had their head chef give a 2-minute, you know, cooking video on how to make a real Big Mac at home in your kitchen. He told all the ingredients of the sauce and all this. Now, I have not had a Big Mac in years and years. I don't even remember the last time I had a Big Mac. And that's just for health reasons. You know, I used to weigh more than I do now, and, you know, finally, I mean, I've never been, you know, ridiculously fat, but, you know, I was not nearly as healthy as I needed to be, and I was like, I got to lose some weight, you know, so I just cut out most of the fast food and stuff like that. But I've gotten pretty good at sort of making similar things that are healthier at home. So I got the recipe for the Big Mac, and I saw, okay, well, like one of the ingredients to the sauce is mayo, but you can get fat-free mayo now, which is a lot healthier, because, you know, regular mayo, very unhealthy. But the mayo, it's kind of weird. Okay, Shelley, let me just ask you, what do you think the ingredients to the Big Mac sauce are?
Thousand Island dressing.
Everybody says that. That is absolutely wrong.
Mm.
Just because it looks like Thousand Island. Nope, there's no Thousand Island dressing.
Did you try it?
Oh, I tried it.
You tried it.
Oh, let me tell you something. Well, first off, the main ingredients to Big Mac sauce are mayo and mustard and sweet relish. And then you put in some garlic powder, some onion powder, some paprika, and some white wine vinegar. And you mix all this up. And I'm putting these ingredients in. Lauren and I are in the kitchen. We're mixing this up. We're like, there's no way this is going to taste like Big Mac sauce. Once we started mixing it up, it transformed, and it looked exactly like Big Mac sauce. And I got a spoonful, and I said, holy crap, this is exactly Big Mac sauce. So you get, you know, I got turkey patties, which are only like 5 grams of fat instead of using beef. Got the nice buns, about 2 grams of fat in the buns, so you're talking about 7 grams of fat here. Shredded lettuce, fat-free slice of cheese, some diced onions, some pickles. I made a Big Mac, and it tasted just like, maybe not, I won't say 100%, because you can taste the difference between turkey and beef a little bit, but man, it was so good, I bet you. And I might even do this as an experiment. I think I'm going to make one and put it in a Big Mac box and give it to somebody and see if they can tell it's not a Big Mac. So anyway, point being, I ate a healthy Big Mac. And if you follow my Twitter feed, you get to see links to, here's how you can do this, you know. Here are the ingredients to make your own Big Mac at home. So it's exciting for me that I can now have a Big Mac once in a while if I make it myself. That's the type of stuff that I have there. Go to speakingofstrange.com. By the way, you know, Shelley, I mentioned also, I said I wanted to do a big Facebook like drive. Did you remember that, Forrest? Last week I said
did.
That? And I think when I said that, we had, you know, like several hundred likes. We, last I looked, over 3,000 likes now.
Fabulous.
On Facebook.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you know, it just keeps going up, so that's very cool. Thank you, all of you who are a lot of people look at it, but they just never hit like, you know, so now we can see kind of the support that we have out there. Speakingofstrange.com has links to all that stuff, Facebook, Twitter, the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. In fact, you know, when Belle Share Weekend comes up and Asheville is jam-packed, it's almost impossible to do tours in downtown Asheville. So we're focusing on our Haunted Biltmore Village tours that weekend. And we're going to have a special promo where you get $2 off for everybody in your party if you take the Haunted Biltmore Village Tour, Belle Share Weekend. HauntedAsheville.com's got all that. But, you know, we have a big online presence here. And when it comes to you know, online material, we follow all these stories about people who stumble into some kind of money because they have a psychic premonition. And that's very intriguing because a lot of the quote-unquote skeptics, the debunker types, frequently say, oh, come on, you know, if anybody had psychic power, well, they'd be hitting the lottery. Well, I think they are. And I bring this up in part because I was watching some TV program the other day about lottery winners. You guys have seen these shows on TV where they say, hey, here's what this guy did with his money. Most of the time, they just lose it all because they don't know how to manage that kind of money. And all these vultures come in and they take all their money, starting with the U.S. government. I've never understood how if you buy a ticket, it's an education lottery in some cases, but then they still take their cut of the taxes out of that, right?
You would think it's already a tax per se.
Yeah.
But, you know, government's greedy, so any chance they get to get money.
Well, the youngest guy in history to hit the Powerball was a 19-year-old man in Columbia, South Carolina. He hit it in 2008, 19 years old. This kid, we'll call him, had never played the lottery in his life. As a matter of fact, he said on this TV program that he always thought the lotto was for suckers. But one morning, he woke up, and he said it was the weirdest thing. These numbers just kept going over and over in his head, like a voice, just, you know, insisting that this series of numbers was important. It became so powerful that he called up his mother and said, write these down. I don't know why he didn't just write them down himself, but that's what happened. So he calls his mom. His mom wrote the numbers down. That day, he went out and bought his first Powerball ticket ever, and he played, just wrote in those numbers, and hit $35.3 million, 19 years old. He decided to get the lump sum, so he took a lump sum of $17.3 million, I say. And it was kind of funny. He was talking about how cool it is to, like, call the number for your bank and have that little recorded voice. They're like, you have $17 million in your account. So anyway, why would this guy make up a story like that? And the funny thing is, Mr. Mobius has been tracking these kinds of stories in the media for years. And he sent me a whole big long list of them. I won't go down the list because that would be redundant. But if you go to our Facebook page, he's going to list all these different stories that you can go and check out. And but I actually had a very weird personal story along these lines that I'll share with you shortly. And that's because I think sometimes very psychic things happen to people regarding money, because if we have a psychic sense, a sixth sense, obviously we have evolved to attain that because it's there to help us survive in some way. And surviving nowadays means having money. That's part of what the money science kit is based on, tapping into this innate ability that we have to evolve senses to help us survive. And so I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the radio before, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to share a story with you, a personal experience that I had with my family when I was a kid that sort of has to convince me of psychic connections to winning money, if for no other reason. Let me just say, if you don't believe that there can be a psychic connection to winning money, listen to this story. And if you believe I'm telling you the truth, maybe you'll see why I think it's highly possible. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Yeah. yes, I did. To disco down and check out the show. Yes, it was dancing and singing and moving to the moving. And just when it hit me, somebody from the crowd shouted, play that fucking music, white boy. Play that fucking music, right. Play that fucking music, white boy. Lay down the boogie and play that fucking music till you die.
From the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, keeping you company tonight, what a program. In the studio with producer Forrest Connor, we have investigator Shelley Wright. Shelley Wright, you are wearing a beautiful necklace tonight.
Why, thank you.
And you know, there's quite a story behind that necklace.
Yes.
When we went to Transylvania, had our big trip of a lifetime, our expedition there, one of the groups, I guess a couple that attended, were Justin and his wife, Sonia.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did we have a blast hanging out with them.
Oh, we did.
Great people. Fun-loving people. Love to listen to Speaking of Strange.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin owns a jewelry store. And the cool thing is they don't just sort of buy and sell things. They craft a lot of their own jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had such a fantastic experience in Transylvania. In fact, he's going to go back next year, he says, that he decided to create pendants for the people who were on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Silver pendants. And he actually took, of course, Dracul means dragon. That's one meaning in Romanian there. And so he kind of took the actual Dracul crest, I guess, that
right.
they would use on like a coat of arms, and had his artisans work this thing into a beautiful silver pendant. It's a dragon pendant, and it's on the back of the one you have. It is engraved. Dracula 2012, is that right?
I believe so.
And yours is on a silver chain.
Yes.
We're going to put a picture of this thing on the website, speakingofstrange.com. I'm leaning over here. Give me a... Hang on, folks. Yeah, Dracula 2012. I bought one for Lauren also. And he made the ones that say Dracula 2012 just for those of us who were on the expedition. Those are exclusive. But so many people love these pendants that he is willing to make a version for anybody who would like one for a limited period of time. And so go to his website if you want to take a look at this and tell him that you're interested in buying one of these. I mean, the actual Vlad Dracul dragon, it's silver, it's... And I guess, I don't know if he's going to do this with all of them. There's also a ruby in its eye.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
A ruby, a red natural ruby in the eye of the silver dragon. It's just, it really is a beautiful work of art. You can get it on a gold, you can get it on a silver chain. I guess you could get it on a gold chain if you wanted to. Or a cord if you want something that looks maybe a bit more masculine. His business is located in Columbia, Missouri. We'll put a link up at speakingofstrange.com, but his website is tuckersfinejewelry.com, tuckersfinejewelry.com. I don't know how long he's going to make these, but talk about an incredible gift.
It is, and it's eye-catching, and I love mine.
Yeah. You know, also, I must say, you know how I've been taking some of the rubble from Poenari and selling little pendants of those in glass bottles?
Yes.
Those things have been a hit, a big hit, because I've combined them with a laser grid. So there are all these cool little pendants and things that are coming out of our experience there. But the ideal thing would be to get Justin's silver pendant, go get one of my Dracula rubble pendants at joshuapwarren.com and have the ultimate set. And you don't have to be rich to do that. Speaking of money, which
exactly.
is what we're talking about, psychic connections to money. Now, my mother has always been a very intuitive person. Forrest, you know my mom and dad well. And
I do.
You've been in the casino with them, and you know how insistent my mother gets on her intuitive feelings about things.
And most of the time, it's right.
That's the eerie part. It really is. And when I was, I'm not sure, I'm thinking maybe like 10 or 11, something like that. My mother, one day, out of the blue, did something that was very out of character for her. Some radio station that she was listening to said that they were going to give away, I think it was like $10,000 one morning. And that basically that morning at a certain time, and this is early in the morning, they were going to announce a birthday. And if it is your birthday, and you're like caller number 5 or whatever, you get the 10 grand. It's that simple. My mother heard about this, and she really became obsessed with it. And, I mean, this is not at all, like I say, something that she ordinarily would really pay that much attention to. She talked about it every day. She kept telling us, we have to be up for this. You know, I just have a feeling. I know. That morning, she got the whole family up, you know, and I had to go to school and everything, so I was not very happy about this. Yeah, she got the whole family up, crack of dawn. Got us all around the telephone and the radio. I mean, it just seemed really silly, like she lost her marbles. And so the DJ comes on, and he says, the birthday is October 25th. That's my birthday. So immediately, my mother was frantic, you know. And she could hardly, you know, pick up the phone. Everybody's flipping out. I'm on the telephone, and I dial the number. I think I had it pre-dialed and just had to hit redial or something. Busy. So I kept redial, busy, you know. She's freaking out. And then somebody else got it. Now, and it was a big letdown. It was a big disappointment because here's the question. Why did she know that it was going to be my birthday like it was meant to be? The fates had put this information into her head. It's going to be a birthday in your family, but did not fulfill the reward. It's hard to explain that because it would be a beautiful story if, oh, and we won the 10 grand and, oh, you know, It was another example of psychic phenomena at work. Now, I can tell you, knowing my mother and having lived through that, that was eerie. It was bizarre. I mean, she knew it was going to be one of our birthdays. But that didn't do us any good. But you know what it did do? It proved something to me. And look at the course that my life has taken. Maybe the reward that ultimately I or we reaped was a lot more than $10,000 because things like that were evidence for me that there is some kind of, you know, connection, some way all that happens. So a little personal story. Again, I don't know if I've ever talked about that. But there is this, you know, amazing connection between psychic ability and money. And right now, of course, everybody's just talking about money all the time because it's an election year, and we have this recession going on, and nobody can explain what's happening. And I saw this story from Nashville, Tennessee. Guy in Nashville went to a gas station, and he filled up his truck, I guess it was. I believe it might have been a pickup truck, something like that. Filled up the truck. Paid for it with his debit card. He said that he went to this particular gas station because they always have the cheapest gas there. $30 was what he paid for his tank of gas. So then, after that, he went to a restaurant, I believe it is. He gave them his debit card, and they said, it's declined. And he knew that there was no reason his card should be declined. So he checked his balance, and it claimed that he had been charged, apparently for the tank of gas, $84,522.54.
Well, I thought gas was going up, but that's kind of ridiculous.
Now, he knew he didn't even have anywhere close to that in his account. He wasn't even sure if he even had $1,000 in his account. So, anyway, it turns out, now this is a little bit confusing, all right? He was charged this, but Citibank, his bank, they said that it had sent the money to the gas station called MAPCO. And he said, well, look, I don't even have that kind of money in my account. In the meantime, MAPCO, the gas station, insists it never got the money, while Citibank insists it paid it. So now Citibank has locked this man out of his own bank account, telling him he won't be able to get his own money until he gets the $84,000 from MAPCO to repay Citibank.
Moral of the story, always use cash.
This guy's gotten totally screwed. He's locked out of his account. It's just a terrible story. That's Nashville, Tennessee.
Awful.
Up on a break, when we come back, a couple more interesting stories. What happens if you walk outside at night and you hear what sounds like God clapping his hands? The golden applause, we'll call it, in the heavens. What on earth could that be? It's a real phenomenon. It's a scientific phenomenon. I'll explain on Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Don't touch that dial.
They only come a town about twice a year. You buy 100 pounds.
I ain't afraid of your husband, baby, I'll be over tonight. It won't do no good to lock them doors and windows tight. I don't care easily, so shut up and listen to me. I ain't afraid of your husband, baby, I'll be over tonight. So what's the big deal? Let down your heart if you run around. He wouldn't care anyway. Come on, baby, what do you say? A good-looking woman, a charge-hopping man, need to get it on every chance they can. Give it up. Now come on, baby, give it up. No, he don't scare me none. He sure don't scare my gun. Pray to your husband, baby, I'll be over tonight.
In the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, we have a great guest coming up for you next hour, and then just an insane dark 30 hour, a lot of crazy stuff happening there. But yeah, here are some interesting stories for you. Imagine if you walk outside at night and you hear a sound that pretty much emulates what you would imagine the sound of a huge being, God himself, just clapping his hands in the sky, what would you think that was? Well, according to LiveScience.com, a very credible news source, it has been proven that weird clapping noise, which can be quite loud, can be produced at the very same time that the northern lights appear. Now, we have mentioned in the past weird noises that are heard in conjunction with the northern lights, and it seems like science is finally catching up with us a little bit. They say that as these energetic particles that create the sort of dancing, dazzling northern lights zip through, they can produce those odd noises, usually about 230 feet above the ground. And this scientific study, it vindicates folk tales and reports by, you know, wilderness travelers who for many years have described hearing those odd noises when the northern lights appear. One of those things that was thought of as an old wives' tale, but turns out it's true. Shelley, have you ever seen the Aurora Borealis?
No, I haven't.
Have you, Forrest?
I saw them when I was a little kid up in Canada.
Oh, really? In Canada, did you?
Yeah, but I really wasn't old enough to really appreciate it and know what I was seeing at the time.
Yeah? Well, you know, I have seen the Northern Lights on two occasions when they dipped low enough to be seen around here.
Actually, they dipped low enough last week, I believe.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But there was too much cloud cover to see them.
Mm-hmm. One time was, I think the first time I saw them was probably like 25 years ago. And then the last time may have been about, probably 10 to 13 years ago, I'm thinking. Just kind of remembering where I was at the time. But yeah, once in a while. Now, you know, obviously seeing the northern lights here are very different than seeing them close to the pole. But it looked like these big wavering streaks of red light, vertical columns, you know, that would stretch down from the top to the bottom of the sky. And, I mean, they were there for quite a while. I mean, quite a long time. I'm sure there must be pretty good pictures of that out there. But it's just funny how that, you know, once in a while, the atmosphere will wobble, or the magnetosphere will shift a little bit and dip down and allow those particles to go much, much lower toward the equator than they usually do. It's funny how, you know, on my Facebook page I posted the other day a quote by Nikola Tesla where he was talking about, you know, once science begins to explore non-physical phenomena, they will learn more in 10 years than they have in all the previous centuries. And that's true. I mean, if you consider how much we focus on non-physical phenomena now, I mean, we're just sort of understanding the importance of that. Inventing X-rays was a big, big deal. I mean, the idea that you could look at people's bones and, you know, the interior of their body, that was huge. And I saw this story a couple days ago from Glendora, California. Investigators there say that they did a sting for a doctor who's been prescribing painkillers. And basically, apparently, all you have to do is give this guy an X-ray and say, yeah, you know, I've got some bone issue, I've got some skeletal thing, some pain here or there. And so he'll turn right around and, you know, give you Vicodin, oxycodone, Valium, Xanax, whatever. So they sent in, the cops, they sent this woman in, and she showed the doctor an X-ray. He looked at her X-ray, put it down, said, okay, fine, what would you like? Vicodin, again, oxycodone, blah, blah, blah. So he sent her out of there with a prescription. That X-ray that she showed him was the X-ray of a German Shepherd. And this is the real kicker. The X-ray even clearly shows the dog's tail. So the cops really wanted to make their point strongly here. I mean, I guess they could have just sent her in there with a healthy person's X-ray and formed a case. But when you go before the judge and you're like, come on, we showed him a dog with a tail, and he wrote the prescription. That's probably, you know, the biggest drug issue that we actually have in this country right now. That sort of thing going on. But that's why I say, hey, if people want it, just give it to them. You don't have to take a dog X-ray in. Even though that'd be fun to try sometime. Maybe I'll do that now. See how far I can push it. Bring in like a little gerbil X-ray. We're up on a break. When we come back, I'm going to interview a guy here that I think I can call a mad scientist. He actually has a lot in common with myself about invisibility and Nikola Tesla. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.